We will have a number of announcements following this meeting. Brother Zeno has selected as his subject, Our Liberty in Christ. Brother Zeno.
My dearly beloved in the Lord, I wish to bring love and greetings to you from the many, many classes we served since last Bowling Green Convention. As a basis for our talk this morning, I'm using John 8, 34 and 36. Jesus speaking to us, and he answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin, and the servant abideth not in the house forever, for the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Our liberty in Christ. Galatians 5:1. Stand fast therefore in the liberty with Christ has made you free. And be not entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Jesus mentions this liberty in his declaration. St. Paul is talking about the law. Stand therefore free in the liberty wherewith Christ shall make you free, talking to the Jewish house. They were in bondage. If you read the entire setting, you will see it immediately. Not referring to the liberty that you and I enjoy. If the Son therefore make you free, he shall be free indeed. Therefore we sing this beautiful hymn, Free from the law, O happy condition. Jesus our Lord hath purchased remission. Cursed by God's law and bruised by the fall, Christ hath redeemed us once for all. Galatians 5:13, 14. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, brethren, what privilege we have to sacrifice present rights for the sake of truth and service. How grand. I love to think of the words of Jesus in John 14:17. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That peace comes to you and to me because we are free. We have liberty in Christ Jesus. As a member of the Christ family, when we was brought into this relationship with God, we became free, brethren. Then the peace of God came to us. We had to make peace with God through Jesus Christ the Lord. The Jewish house never did that. And after we made peace with God through Christ Jesus our Lord, then God was pleased to impart His peace unto us. The peace of God that passeth all human understanding. Humankind know nothing about the peace that you and I have. Why? Because Christ has made us free. If the Son make you're free indeed. And you will enjoy that peace of God that passeth all human understanding. Yes, we're free to serve the great King because He's given unto us liberty. Liberty to be called the sons of God. He came to His own and His own received Him not, but as many as received Him gave He the power, the authority. One translation gives it the liberty to be called the sons of God. This liberty which each consecrated child of God has is free and liberty from the law. And its bondage that the house of Israel were under. And too, it means liberty from the creeds of men. Liberty from the fear of Satan having dominion over us. Free from sin. Satan has dominion over the human race. He can put them to death. He is power of death. But He can't put you to death. I want you to think with me this morning, friends. Let us turn to Romans 6:19-22. I speak after the manner of men, because the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanliness, and to iniquity unto iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness, and unto holiness. You're now free, remember. You're in Christ Jesus. For when we were servants of sin, ye were free from righteousness. You had no righteousness, but now you're made free in Christ Jesus. What fruit have ye then in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? Are we ashamed? Yes, brethren, for the end of those things are death. But now being made free from sin, and because servants of God, bond slaves to Christ Jesus, as we shall see, ye have your fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. That's better, isn't it? Are you happy with me this morning? That you're a member of the Christ family and you stand free. Let me read from Ephesians 6:19-20. Paul speaking, and he said, as for me, brethren, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly, and to make known the mystery of the gospel. Is there a mystery connected with the gospel? Why, yes, brethren, we often hear the gospel mentioned all through the nominal Zion, and we often hear too about the full gospel. Did you ever hear a sermon preached on the mystery mystery of the gospel. We heard it here from this platform for this past week. Our dear brother Yankee brought it to our mind again this morning. The mystery that's given unto you, that you might know. Now Paul said in the 20th verse, for which I am an ambassador. Ambassador to what? To the mystery of the gospel. Read it again, brethren. Striving together, not apart. Not apart, Jesus said. Where the body, the food is, there will the eagles be gathered. How? Together. Not separated, but together. They love the food. The eagles, with keen vision, far-sighted. Brethren, as I came across the country, my friends were all asking about Bowling Green. And they all love to be here, and they're here in the spiritually. And they all send their love and greetings to you. They're keen of vision, they love to be here. There are two eagles with us. And they're striving for this same thing, the mystery of the gospel. And he said, I'm made an ambassador. How, brother Paul? In bonds. You're in bonds, friends, to Christ Jesus. That's all the liberty you have. Now let me prove it. Bond slaves to Christ Jesus, to the mystery of the gospel of Christ. What for, Paul? That I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Oh, how great. Now let us look at this thing, brethren. In Hebrews 2:14, we know positively that Paul tells us that Satan has power of death. Yes, over the human race since the fall in Eden. He's been the god of this world and has power of death. But friends, he has not power of death of the 10 virgin class. Wise or foolish virgins, he can't put them to death. Why? You know why, brethren, shall I remind you? We pass from death unto life. In Christ Jesus, we're alive. We live. And God is the God of the living, not the dead. We pass from human to spiritual. Is that right? Out of Adam, into Christ. He can't put you to death unless you become incorrigibly wicked. Then God will destroy all the wicked, not Satan. What's going to happen to some of these that are not faithful? They're going to be handed over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh. That's all he can destroy. For the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit might be saved. Saved. Saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. That will be the great multitude. Think, brethren, think. Foolish virgins. Yes, we've passed from death unto life, and we're free. Free from the power of Satan. Free from sin. Free from the law. Liberty in Christ. That's the kind of a liberty I want. Oh, we find a movement throughout the states inviting you to liberty. Look out. What kind of liberty? Backing off from the altar of sacrifice. bond slaves to Jesus Christ, prisoners of Christ Jesus, brethren. Think of what it says about this great multitude in Hebrews 2:15. They're all their lifetime subject to bondage. What all? Fear of death. Fear of this altar. Fear of the sacrificial death. And therefore, friends, they become bondage to their fear. They're not free. They do not have the liberty that Christ gave us. These will be handed over to Satan. 1 Corinthians 5:5. And we're almost there. To deliver them unto Satan for the destruction of their flesh, that their spirit might be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Destruction of their flesh, not destruction of their life. He can't destroy their life. If they go down into death, it's because they're incorrigibly wicked. And all the wicked will God destroy. This class is mentioned in Revelation, the 7th chapter. They serve finally in his temple, continually. In his temple. Therefore, they'll be spiritual. Before the throne of God. 1 Corinthians 1:30. I remind you, brethren, that Christ Jesus has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, redemption, sanctification, and redemption. And when we accepted the Lord Jesus as our personal Redeemer, and God set us in the body of Christ as it had pleased Him, we became bond slaves to Christ Jesus. Yes, and isn't that sweet? Isn't it grand to be free? Free from all this corruption. Free from the bondage and the thraldom of sin and Satan and death. You're alive, brethren. You passed from death unto life in Christ Jesus. Think of that. God has become our Father and the Lord Jesus, our elder brother. Therefore we have the fruit unto holiness, and the end is everlasting life. Brethren, we remind you that we must remain on the altar of sacrifice unto death. We can't back off from the altar. If we'll do, we may find ourselves over there in the court with the scapegoat, eating green grass. We must remain on the altar until death. I call to mind Revelation 7:3, where the Lord speaks of holding back the four winds until all of his servants are sealed. Where? In their forehead. They've already been sealed in their heart by the Holy Spirit, and oh, that was the cream of Christian experiences, to receive the sealing of the Holy Spirit. But down here, in the presence of the Lord, we have a special sealing. Where? Read it again and get the reprints on it. Turn in the back of your Bible. Get the reprints and the volumes. And you'll be surprised. This sealing in the forehead comes only in the presence of Christ in the harvest of the gospel age. If I do not believe in the presence of Christ, I'll never have that ceiling. And I couldn't expect protection from the fallen angels. The church needs a special ceiling at the end of the age. And God has provided it. He's given it unto us. We're sealed in the forehead. It identifies us. And it protects us. Read it again, brethren, and bring joy to our hearts. But if we become careless and indifferent and deny these things, first thing you know, we'll have the liberty that these folks seek for. They're seeking for liberty, and they get it. I don't want that kind of liberty, do you? I want to have the liberty that Christ gave unto me. He made me free from all that bondage, from the thraldom of sin and death, and from the power of the devil. See that? Why, of course you do. Ephesians 6:19, 20, St. Paul said, "And for me that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in bonds." Isn't that great? Are we going to lose sight of it? Isn't that wonderful to be a bond slave to Christ Jesus? Ephesians 4:1. St. Paul again addressing the church. And he said, "I am a prisoner of Christ." Are we? Ephesians 3:1 the same. That we're prisoners of Christ Jesus. Are we prisoners to Christ Jesus, or prisoners some theory, some idea, or to self? No, friends, I want to be a prisoner to Christ. Don't you? Let us think, brethren, think. We haven't far to go. Look out for those that are crying liberty. Let us get it straight. We're bond slaves to Christ Jesus. And our dear pastor said, the only safe course for the consecrated is to be a bond slave of Christ Jesus and remain upon the altar of sacrifice. We were at one time bond slaves to sin and death. Now we are free. The past is under the blood. We're alive in Christ. And oh, how detestable and galling it was to be a bond slave to sin and death and under the bondage of the adversary. But now, voluntarily, we are in bondage to God, to Christ, to the truth. And this makes us free. Free in Christ. And gives us liberty. This voluntary bondage is submitting oneself and every talent and every moment to Christ. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my being's ransom powers. All for Jesus, all for Jesus. All my days and all my hours. Do we want to have that other kind of a liberty than just have a little Bible study on Sunday morning and the rest of the week? Have a good time. Look out. You're backing off from the altar, brethren. Oh, it's so grandly noble. And the very essence of wisdom to remain in Christ Jesus. Surely, friends, after one has become free in Christ, a spouse to one husband. Yes, and then seeks for liberty, seeks for an open door. What do you mean? I mean this, brethren. I heard a pilgrim from another organization say up in Maine, I keep an open door. They can all come in. I don't keep an open door, friends. Are we going to keep an open door and let all dissenters in? And let all wolves in? And let them tares in that our dear Greek brother told us about? Let us earnestly contend for the faith, brethren. No. Let us be careful about that open door business. How displeasing it would be to our Master, our Lord Jesus, to permit men to stand on the platform here at this convention, universally. Those that are preaching British Israel and all kinds of dissenters, would that be pleasing to our heavenly bridegroom? Remember, brethren, you have no will of your own. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. We do not belong to ourselves. We're bond slaves to Christ Jesus. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. The mind of Christ. Ah, what a difference, friends, this means. Dearly beloved, those who seek that kind of liberty and make no difference what they believe and teach, they call it love. That isn't love. No love about it. I fear they will lose their friendship and partnership of being a joint sacrificer on the same altar with Christ Jesus. And if that would come true, brethren, then all comfort and consolation which our liberty in Christ has brought us would be lost. Be lost. Our ambassadorship in bonds representing the kingdom would also be lost. But we who are bond slaves to Christ Jesus can sing with joy these words. Oh, what comfort it brings, my soul sweetly sings. I am safe, free in Christ. That's your safety, bond slave to Christ Jesus. I am safe from all danger. Passed from death unto life in Christ Jesus. While under his wings, this means full submission to Christ, because voluntarily being a bond servant to Christ brings the love of God, which is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit which God has given unto us. Romans 5:1-5. And this submitting ourselves to righteousness and wisdom means every talent to the direction of Christ Jesus, our head. You have no head of your own. Led by the Spirit of the Lord, free, free, free. That's the kind of freedom we want, brethren. That's the freedom that the new creation has. No, we're not our own. I'd like to illustrate that. The dear mother, she has a lovely family. Think of the love of a mother over her children. What does it make her? A bond slave to those children. Is she free? Why, of course she's free.
Willing to serve those children, even unto death. Is it love? True love. Real love. But she's free and still a bond slave, and so are we.
Yes, that mother will do anything for her children because she loves them. But she's in bondage to them, isn't she? This is the kind of liberty we love, brethren. 2 Corinthians 6:14. We are not to be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Most of the brethren, friends, use that. Matrimony. But friends, if you'll read the reprints on it, get the setting in your mind, you'll find it applies to you and to me, each bond slave. We're not to be unequally yoked with those that disbelieve, unbelievers. They may have believed at one time, but now they deny this and deny that and deny that. We're not to be unequally yoked with them. That's the admonition, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Why say you believe in the teachings of Brother Russell and then do the opposite? I heard it right here on this convention ground. My dearly beloved, we have the truth. The Lord has given us the truth through that faithful and wise servant. I think many of the Lord's people should return to the study of the sixth volume of Scripture studies. If we are going to listen and associate ourselves with every dissenter, how could that be pleasing to our heavenly bridegroom? Never, friend. No. There's another reason why we are happy to be bond slaves to Christ Jesus. It's gratitude. Gratitude. Oh, see what he did for us. Made us free. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Real free. That passing from death unto life has made us free in Christ. Think of the ingratitude that's being made manifest. I like to call your mind of the 10 lepers mentioned from this platform. You remember how they stood afar off and they cried to the Lord Jesus, Jesus, have mercy upon us. And the account tells us that Jesus healed them all. All 10 lepers. Leprosy is a loathsome disease. Incurable. They say they found the cure now. But I believe it is still a symbol of sin. The only one that could cure leprosy was the Lord Jesus. The only one that can cure sin is Christ Jesus. Through the blood of Christ Jesus, which cleanses us from all our sins. Right? That's right. He cleansed all the 10 lepers. And what took place, brethren? Jesus turned about, and there he saw the one, prostrated himself in the dust at the feet of Jesus. Jesus looked down at him, and he said, Were there not 10 cleansed? Then the man raised his head and he said, yes, Lord, 10. Jesus said, where are the 9? Where are the 9 today? Where are they, friend? Many, many have been called, but few chosen. Why? They want too much liberty in the world.
But the one leper, representing the feet members of the body of Christ, he was right there at the feet of Jesus. And in the dust of the earth.
And then, friends, he rose up, and with a loud voice he gave glory to God, didn't he? Ah, let us do the same. We're the feet of him. And you remember, friends, that the seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, the devil's head. There were no fallen angels then when that was mentioned. The seed of the woman shall bruise the serpent's head, and it, who? The fallen angels? No! Satan, the devil, shall bruise its heel. Who told you that Satan was bound? Some more religious humbug.
Don't believe it. The great multitude must be handed over to Satan for the destruction of their flesh.
But before that, he's going to give the heel a kick, friends, I believe. Don't you? Let us not deceive ourselves.
This one leper with a loud voice gave glory to God. The one leper would represent the feet members.
Listen to the loud voice going through the earth. Ah, my dearly beloved, when I was in Seattle, Washington, the last time a brother came to me and he said it'd be impossible, impossible to have Frank and Ernest on the air in Luxembourg. I said, why, brother? It's on. I can't believe it, he said. Why? I said, why? Because, he said, I was stationed there for 2 solid years, and all of Luxembourg is solid Catholic. You never could get in there. I said, God, get in there. God is getting into Monte Carlo, too. Right under the Pope's face, and he can hear it if he wants to. We're living in the most momentous time in all the history of ages. Never in all history has there been so much corruption, confusion, distress, and perplexity. We're right down, friends, almost the overthrow of Satan's empire. And all these things must come to pass.
Yes, brethren, listen to what the hymn tells us about. That one leper with a loud voice.
Hear the voice going through the air?
Brethren, that's the reason I submitted that we'd take Ann Arbor. Chiefly, that was the reason to give the message through the southern part of Michigan. We're not doing it here, are we? Why not try it next year? You don't need to vote for it. Don't pick my word. I'll be satisfied to come here. I love it here, too. But that's the reason I did it, brethren. Listen to this. Gratitude. Oh, what gratitude that one leper, the feet of him, would show to God. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. He is love beyond a brother. Costly. Why? Why? We bought the truth. Now let us not sell it.
You bought the truth with your consecrated heart. Buy the truth and sell it not. Satan is a wily foe. We're not ignorant of his devices. He'll try to make you believe that he's bound. Look out. Christ Jesus is love beyond the brother, costly, free. Liberty, free, and knows no end. How often we sing that, do we think about it? Which of all our friends to save us could or would have shed his blood? Oh, what beautiful exposition we had here at this convention of the redemption. The entire plan of God. Several came to me yesterday and asked me if I would talk on the plan of the ages, the plan, the chart, as Ed said, I'd be glad to do it. See the committee. I believe, friends, if we have a seven-day convention next year, that one of the brethren should give a talk on the plan of the ages. Which of all our friends to save us could or would have shed his blood, but our Savior died. What for? To free us, that we may be restored to God. Oh, how sweet. Therefore, since we know that Christ Jesus made us free, we should show appreciation by our gratitude, by remaining on the altar of sacrifice. We die daily, brethren. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life that I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me, you. All that are free in Christ Jesus. All that are bond slaves to Christ. This kind of liberty taught in the Bible helps us to bind our sacrifice to the altar with the cords of sacrificial love. How could we keep our all upon the altar? How could we bind our sacrifice that it may remain there only with the cords of love? Then liberty is love. That's right. This kind of liberty brings the highest degree of love, the sacrificial love, the love that God possesses, God's love which passes human understanding. Romans 6:19. Again, I repeat, one time we yielded our members to service iniquity, but now, brethren, we're free. Ye yield your members to the servants of righteousness. Righteousness, bond slaves to Christ Jesus. While I was paging the reprints recently, I read this article. Perhaps you'd like to read it. Page 657, reprint article. The sentiment that it matters not what a man believes. Oh, how often we hear that. It don't make a difference what a man believes. He's such a nice man, such a fine Christian brother, and a grand musician. Oh, he's so grand. We'll let him come. Is that right? Listen what our pastor said. The sentiment that it matters not what a man believes, just though that he or she is sincere. Look out for that. Satan will get us on that. See what our pastor said? Just so that he or she is sincere, is as unscriptural as it is absurd. I'll tell you why. He gives us the reason. Sincerity in belief has no effect in warding off evil. You see the scheme of the devil? He uses sincerity to get you off from the altar of sacrifice. Sincerity in belief has no effect in warding off evil. But here, what will ward off evil? Our pastor said, it's right belief, truth. God's truth, my dear brethren, is the only foundation on which we can safely rest our hope. Now, when you hear that, remember our pastor gave it. That's his admonition to this convention. That's his admonition to this convention, brethren. Yes. Now I'm going to turn to something that's been really joy to me, friends. Time hastens so rapidly. I'm turning to the 36th Psalm. The righteousness we talked about. The sixth verse. Thy righteousness is like a great and lofty mountain, Lisa said. God's righteousness is like the great and lofty mountain. Think of the kingdom of righteousness established in glory and great power. Then take yourself beyond the eighth day and the ninth day. God's righteousness is far and greater above it all. How grand. Then he said, thy judgment are a great deep, O Lord. Seventh verse. Oh, how excellent is thy loving kindness to whom? To the church, I believe. The eighth verse. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of thy pleasure. Brethren, what does it mean? Are we abundantly satisfied? With what? The fatness of God's house? What's God's house? This is God's house here, this convention. When you have a meeting in your home, wherever you have it, and you invoke God's blessing upon it, that's God's house. One of our dear brethren was writing, I read the letter, and he said, over there in Germany, they wanted to have a little convention. Couldn't find a place to have it, and so they rented a sheep barn. In German, that's a Schafstall. They cleaned it up and they had their convention. What was it? When that convention was going on, it was the house of God. And if it were under the canopy of God out in the open, still it would be the house of God, wouldn't it? Now let me ask you, are you abundantly satisfied with the fatness of God's house? What does the fat mean? Well, the tabernacle told us, didn't it? When the bullock was placed upon the altar, it burned furiously. Why? It had much fat. What did it represent? Love and zeal. But when the lean goat was put on the altar, it didn't burn quite so furiously, did it? No, the goat burned slowly. And what does that picture you and me? Ah, yes, we do not have the fat and the zeal, the love that Christ Jesus had. Fat. Love. Now let me read it. How excellent is thy loving kindness. They, who? The church, shall be abundantly satisfied with the love of thy house. Now are you? Are you abundantly satisfied with the love that's been manifested here at this convention? Ah, yes, I believe, friends, that you'll agree. Then he says, thou shalt make them drink of the waters No, not waters here, but the river of pleasure. Each one of us is just a little rivulet of water, well of water, flowing to eternal life. And oh, our dear pastor stood on the platform and said, when all these 144,000 wells come together, that'll constitute the river of life, though that the human family may get a good drink. Also, that'd be grand. But friends, you and I are just a little rivulet of pleasure, too. We are, yes. If we're a little rivulet of pleasure, a pleasure to one another. Now, and then when over there, there'll be the river of pleasure flowing to the human family. Don't you think they'd like to have some pleasure, too? Oh, you say they're getting pleasure. No, brethren, that isn't pleasure. And that isn't joy. Why, when you're riding down the highway or on a train or a bus, you'll see signs. Pipe joy, cigarette joy. Do you think that's joy? Pleasure, too. Oh, yes, they call a glorious 4th of July. Or didn't we have a glorious time? Poor, groaning creation. They never had a good time. But we're having a real feast, aren't we? Ah, friends, are you abundantly satisfied to be free because the Son has made you free? Yes, friends, we're free to spread the truth. We're free to worship God in spirit and in truth. And it brings pleasure to our hearts. Oh, what pleasure it brought to each heart that attended this convention. If it didn't bring any pleasure to your heart, there's something wrong with that heart. We better go back home and examine it. We might have had the wrong spirit, brethren. They shall be abundantly satisfied with the fatness of thy house, and thou shalt make them drink of the river of pleasure. Oh, we're taking a good drink of it. Let us become a little rivulet. For with thee is the fountain of life. It's the fountain of freedom and liberty, too, friends. With God. With Christ. In thy light we shall see life. How will we see more light? In the light we already have. Oh, I see. In thy light. Haven't we had the light? Isn't it shining brightly on our pathway? Haven't we the truth? Yes. Well, in that truth, in that light, we'll have a little better understanding. A little better understanding. A little better understanding. When I hear our dear brother Dyfer talk, I think he's about 20 miles ahead of me. Maybe 100 miles ahead of me. I believe he is 100 miles ahead of me. Why? There's some that are walking in the light and are receiving more light. Why, brethren? Well, perhaps it's this. I feel, brethren, that if I live up to the light that I already have received, then God will give me a little more light. A little more light. A little more light. But we must live up to the light we have already received. Then God will give us more light. Now, haven't you received much light at this convention? I know you have, friend. I know you have. Now, let us go out and try to live up to that light. And next year, if the Lord permits and we come back and convene again, I'm sure you'll say, it's getting brighter, brother. It's getting brighter. I've learned this in my ministry. Brethren who have studied the first volume of Scripture studies, sometimes a dozen times, more than that, then they'll study it again. Oh, I never saw that before. Isn't it that way with the tabernacle, too? Friends, I served the tabernacle, shadows of better sacrifices, one time for 2 solid years. We just go over it, But I confess today, friends, that I didn't see much. It gets greater and grander and grander and grander all the time. It's because we're nearing the consummation of our hope. Brethren, let us be free, but the right kind of freedom. Let us look out for that mistaken liberty. You may lose your crown. I ask an interest in your prayers, friends, as we go out from the service. And I'll remember you. I'll ask the Lord to bless all the classes and all the brethren that attended the convention. And if you'll make it mutual and you'll pray for me, friends, that'll be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. Why? I'm praying for you and you're praying for me. May the Lord bless you.
Thank you, Brother Zainal. And the thoughts are summarized and expressed in conclusion of the expression, Our Liberty in Christ, in our closing hymn, number 229. Let us rise in the last stanza and ask Brother Zainal to close this meeting with prayer and also ask the blessing on the meal to follow. After that, we would like the friends to take their seats because there are several important announcements. 229.